opportunity of meeting with you this morning and again during this week, and I do trust that it may please our God to powerfully bless our times together, that we might know what it is to have something of a little bit of heaven here upon earth. So I'm very, very honored and very privileged to occupy your pulpit this morning, and we invite you to come back again this evening and throughout this coming week up to Friday evening. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me, if you will please, to the Gospel of Luke, to the 24th chapter of that Gospel. The Gospel of Luke to the 24th chapter of that Gospel. The third Gospel being the Gospel of Luke, and the 24th chapter of that Gospel, commencing to read at verse 13, at verse 13 of Luke chapter 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 8 miles, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, but when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again for this priceless privilege that we have this morning of coming to gather round thy word. And you know where we are, you know where we have come from, you know our needs. We thank you, Lord, from the resources of omnipotence that you can meet our needs this morning. We ask of you then, Lord, that you will speak through thy word to our hearts. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive thy word, for we would ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. I want us to consider this passage of Scripture which we have just read together, and to relate some vital facts as to the state and the condition of the hearts of the two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ever bear in your mind that it was two disciples. These are two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ going down from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And there's a significance in that, but we do not want to go into that this morning. But as we consider the state and the condition of the hearts of these two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we have before us something of a perfect picture, though a tragic picture, but a very perfect and a true picture of the state and the condition of the heart of the church and so many saints today. The Lord Jesus Christ said to these two, O fools, and slow of heart. Three words are used to describe the state and the condition of the hearts of these two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17, we read that they had sad hearts. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? They had sad hearts. But also in verse 25, they had slow hearts. O fools, he said. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that all the prophets have spoken. But in verse 32, they had something which all of us need this morning, and that is that they had burning hearts. Did not our heart burn within us, they say. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now Luke, you know, is rather graphic when he comes to this particular description. He uses a phrase so often in his gospel. And this is the phrase, as we have it in verse 13, and behold, he said, behold, hey, stand still, have a look at this. Pause just for a moment, because here is something that's going to blow your mind and stagger your imagination. He says, behold, two of them, that's two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, went that same day to a village called Emmaus. That very day, what day? Well, it was the resurrection day. Can you believe it? Here are two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ on the resurrection morning when they should have been over the moon. The tragedy indeed was that they had sad hearts and they had slow hearts. This was the day of all days, this resurrection day. Wish I'd have been around then on that particular day. Good to live today, but it has a lot of sadness and tragedies about today. What a glorious day that would have been on that glorious resurrection morning. There was to be no other day in the whole of time, and certainly all of eternity, which could possibly compare with this particular day. It was a once and for all. There was to be a no repeat of this particular day. The Lord came once, he died once, he rose from the dead once, he ascended into heaven once. It's a once and for all, and this day was without comparison. It was momentous. It was outstanding. It was transforming. It was overpowering, because Christ's birth and Christ's life and Christ's death were of no consequence whatsoever unless there was a resurrection day. Now, you'll find in my preaching that I get a little bit worked up about things, because I believe in what I preach. I'm not an apologetic preacher. I may preach apologetics sometimes, but I'm not an apologizing preacher. I believe what I believe, and I preach what I believe. And here are two, you know, so sad on this particular day. And like I say, it's staggering. Like I say again, you can underline this if you want to write it down. Christ's birth and his life and his death were of no consequence unless it was a resurrection. The fact indeed there was a resurrection confirms to all and sundry, devils, demons, men and women, angels, principalities and powers and what have you, that the Lord's birth and his life and his death were of consequence, because the resurrection is the sealing of his ministry and a confirmation and a proof that his birth and his life and his death were accepted by God the Father. And in consequence of that, I say, these two should have been over the moon. They should have been on the streets. They should have run down, you know, to the palace of Herod and kicked him out of bed and said, Herod, you indeed mocked him and you jeered at him and you said something about that he was a king. He is a king, because you know what he's done this morning? He's tore the bars of the grave away and he's out of it and he's alive. Now what are you going to do? They should have gone to old Pontius Pilate and shoved him out of bed too. And stood him up against the side of the wall and said, "You know, Pilate, you put a seal upon that stone of that grave. And you intended that whoever was in that tomb would never come out again. But you know what, Pilate? He's broken the seal from inside. And he's come out. And you know what, Pilate? He's alive this morning." A glorious day. And that's where they should have been. These two, on the streets, not necessarily with their placards opposing this, that, and something else, but on the streets blazing this glorious trail of the truth of the doctrine of the resurrection. He is alive! And hell has done its worst, and to show that he is superior and that he's conquered hell, as our creed reminded us this morning, he descended into hell. Why? To prove to them who is the boss. And he arose from the dead. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, and up from the grave he arose. A mighty conqueror o'er all of his foes. He arose. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And these two should have been over the moon. But they were sad. In fact, they were going from Jerusalem. Because they had got fed up with the saints there in Jerusalem. And they said, "It's no use staying here anymore. Let's go back to Emmaus. Let's go back to the old round of events. Let's go back to the old home and the old haunts." And here they are, sad and communing together about all that has happened in the last 3 days. And they're getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the slough of this pond. And to use an English colloquialism, they've jacked it all in and they've said, "It's no good. There's nothing in this. Boy, is what we've been doing for the last 3.5 years. It's just a waste of time. And let's not go with the saints anymore and let's go back to Emmaus." And here they are going down, 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 down all the time for 8 miles all the way down to Emmaus. And we read in verse 15 a tremendous statement. "And Jesus himself drew near." And Jesus himself drew near. If it had been left to me, that had gone back to Emmaus and that had stewed there for the rest of their days, going round and round in circles in that little home there in Emmaus. But the amazing thing is that God in his grace, here is the Lord Jesus Christ going after two of his dejected and downcast disciples that are all out of sorts and they have sad hearts and they have slow hearts. And Jesus himself, I don't know what business is about. As far as eternity is concerned, I know that he stands on the right hand of God the Father this very morning, interceding on the behalf of the saints. But I don't know what his business was on this resurrection morning. But the amazing thing is just this to me, you know, that my Savior came out, and after these two disciples of him are out of sorts, and Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, why are you sad? And why are you slow of heart? He doesn't want them sad and he doesn't want them slow of heart. And the end of the story is that they have burning hearts. But they had sad hearts as he walked with them. Can you believe it? Sad hearts while he walked with them. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have as you walk in the sad?" And Cleopas answering said, "Art thou a stranger?" You a stranger? Is he a stranger to you this morning? Cleopas, don't you know who's walking by your side? He's your blessed Lord. He's your blessed Master. You should recognize him. Surely you should know his voice. You should know that walk of his. He's been with you for the last 3.5 years and you've been with him. Surely you must recognize him. But they didn't. Their eyes were just downcast and looking on the road as they were going down. And Cleopas answering said, "Art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, you know about him. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. You know, we had trusted that it should have been he who should have redeemed Israel. You know, we were with him when he talked about thrones and kingdoms. We were with him when he fed 5,000 men out of just a few loaves and a few fishes. That's economics. And we were with him, you know, when he talked about destroying the temple and in 3 days rebuilding it again. That's power. We trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. But, you know, he was condemned to death. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. That's all 3 days ago. And some women from our assembly, yes, they went. They went to the grave this morning. It was early, it was dark, you know. They didn't quite see what they were supposed to be seeing. And the grave was supposed to be empty, and they found it somewhat empty. They saw some angels, but you know, as we have it here in verse 11, it's just idle words, it's just idle tales, it's just women's talk, and we don't believe it. And they're walking home in the company of Jesus, and they're sad. You're walking home this morning. The hymn writer has said, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. The hill of Zion already yields 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach those heavenly fields or walk those golden streets. We're going home. We're going home to glory. We're going home to that elite and that elect group of men and women from the four corners of the earth of all ages who are gathered around the throne of our God in heaven. What a glorious assemblage that is. We're going home. And yet the tragedy is that so many of us are, we're walking to glory and we're on our way home. We're sad and we're slow. Sad. Downcast. Sad. I used to have a Ford. I don't have it anymore. But I used to have a Ford, and I learned from you over here that if you have a Ford, you have to fix or repair daily. Or found on the road dead. And I had some problem with this Ford. And I had some friends. Be careful of friends who have garages, you know. We don't have burning hearts because we're sad, because we're slow. This morning that the great masses of men and women are excited in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what they see of the so-called church. We have no advertising program. And I don't mean indeed great big billboards and what have you advertising our services. The great emphasis, you know, and today among evangelicals is the outsider. Just had great crusades through England. We want to reach the outsider. We suddenly become aware, you know, that they're outsiders. You know what's wrong with the English church? It's not the outsider. You know what's wrong with the American church? It's not the outsider. You'll have no problems in reaching the outsider once the insider is right. When something has happened to the inside, then indeed you'll touch the outside. The insider is the problem. Remember the book of the Acts in Acts 2? Here were 120 for 10 days on their knees crying to God. Why? Because there was something wrong with them. They missed something. But let God come upon them. And what happened? Well, then they have no problems in reaching the outsider because the multitudes come in their multitudes standing at the door and all the way around. So that little home was too small to accommodate the multitudes that came. The insider. The Lord, after his resurrection, never appeared to the world. You know that? Never appeared to the world. Why? Well, he just wanted to convince his disciples that he was alive. 500 he may have appeared to on one occasion, but they were his disciples. And over and over and over and over again, it was to his disciples, never to the world. Why? Well, get them convinced of the doctrine of the resurrection that he was alive. You know what they would do? Turn this world in those days inside out and upside down so that their sound, as we read in the book of the Acts, went into all the world. And that's something which we are not doing today with all our paraphernalia and electronic gimmicks. You know that? There are 2,000 tribes in South America alone, stuck up the Amazon, that have still not heard once the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's unbelievable, but it's true. And the way that we are evangelizing, that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we be Germans or Americans or English or what have you, the way we're evangelizing France, the rate we're going, do you know how many years it's going to take us to evangelize all of France? It's going to take us 2,000 more years. Just France. 50 million. What's gone wrong? I tell you what's gone wrong. We don't have burning hearts. We don't have burning hearts. You see, why the masses are not moved by religion is that they look at us, and the result of looking at us, preacher included, is we don't want what they have. 3%. 3% of Britishers will go to church today. 3% of 52 million people. 3%. That's pathetic. You know why? Because they look at Christianity in England and they say, we don't want that. You seen the saints on a Sunday? You seen sinners on a Saturday? Or sometimes saints going to a football match or a soccer match? I come from Birmingham, England, and we have two soccer teams in Birmingham, or football teams as we call them. One is Birmingham City and the other is Aston Villa. My daughter supports Birmingham City, and she gets dressed up on a Saturday afternoon to go and support Birmingham City. So she has a blazer on, blue and white stripes, and a tam o' shanter with blue and white stripes, and a rattle with blue and white stripes, and a great big rosette which she sticks here, blue and white. And so she goes down to support a team. It never wins, but they go down to support it. And they cheer, and they're there, you know, 1.5 hours before the ground is due to open, you know, they're there getting all excited with the scarves on, which they take off, and they sing their hymns or their songs. You know, we are the champions, we are the champions. They're not, but they sing it nevertheless, in hopes that one day they will be. And they're getting all excited about this soccer match. And then suddenly the gates are open, and into the field they go, and they just go, to use an Americanism, they go bananas. And they just go crazy, you know. Here they're going to play this afternoon, and anybody that comes onto that ground, they're going to beat. So for, what is it, an hour and a half they play. And everybody goes crazy, cheering Birmingham City on. And at the end of the day, you know, they don't win. But who cares, you know, it was a tremendous match. And they go home talking, you know, about the soccer match. And all through the week, you know, they're talking about it. You've seen the saints go to church on a Sunday morning. Hey, do you know what time it is? And do you know what day it is? We've got to go to church this morning. And coming through those doors, good Presbyterians, all straight and solid, and looking all downcast. Is this how you come to a soccer match? See, we don't get excited. You can't get excited about religion. That's the tragedy of it in so many quarters today. Because if you do, you're something of a charismatic or somebody that's gone out on a limb, or something's gone wrong with you, or something or other. Can't get excited about religion. That's the tragedy of it all. This is something that you should get excited about. This indeed is something which you should have burning hearts. You're going to talk about the service here this morning for the next week, the way the choir sang, how tremendous it was. Man alive, when they started up this morning, if I had a hat on, I was going to throw it up in the air. I was so excited about the things which they were singing about. And the hymns that we've been singing, I don't know who picked them, but how glorious they were. Hymns of the faith, you know, that have kept the saints down through the centuries. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. Hey, that's something to get excited about. Something to go over the moon about. But all the tragedy about so many is, we're sad. And we're slow. Because of this, the masses are not reached. The masses are not touched. What is the problem? What is the root of the matter? Well, one brief, quick answer is that here were these two on the road down to Emmaus, and they're having a conference. They're having a convention. They're having a seminar and reasoning together and communing together, and they bring out their reports and their reasons. And the end of it all is, you see, that they're still sad and they're still slow. And they're talking about yesterday, 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 yesterday. You know, they debated and reasoned the death and the burial of Christ, and they were so certain of the facts of yesterday, so sure of the grave in relation to yesterday, that they couldn't believe the testimony of somebody that had met the Lord that particular morning. Is that why you're sad this morning? Well, there are some people around you that are far from being sad. They know what it is to have sins forgiven. They know what it indeed it is to have peace with God and a hope in relation to heaven. They know these things and they glory in them and they rejoice in them. But somehow or other, you know, to you they're just idle tales. Just idle tales. And all you seemingly do is go round and round in circles and have sad hearts and slow hearts. This is the point I want to leave with you. What else was the matter with these two? Well, the Lord says, O fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that all the prophets have spoken. You know, they failed to believe the book. That was it. They failed to believe the book and the prophets. And the emphasis is on the awe of the Scripture. You see, they believed some parts of it about His birth and His life and His death. But they couldn't accept the resurrection. So you know what the Lord does? He says to them, well, just shut up a minute and let me do some talking. And what He does, He starts at the first book of Moses, which is the book of Genesis. And He goes through all the scriptures of that day, relating the things or reasoning or preaching or speaking about those things in relation to Himself. Goes all the way through the Old Testament. He doesn't say that there's some there for the Jews and some for the Gentiles. Some for this dispensation and that some other for some other dispensation. My dear ones here this morning, I got 66 books in my Bible. I don't know what you have in yours. But I got 66 in mine. I got 39 in the old and 27 in the new. And we used to sing a chorus in our Sunday school days, which was, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All are given by His grace divine. Every promise in the book is mine. I don't want to start any theological arguments here this morning. But my dear ones, what the Lord does is He takes all of the scriptures and exposes all of the scriptures to these two. And it wasn't so much, you know, when they were walking with Him. And it wasn't so much, you know, when He sat down and He ate a meal with them. It wasn't so much that. But what gave them burning heart was just this. They said, did not our heart burn within us while He communed and reasoned with us from the Scriptures by the way? And it was while the Scriptures were coming into their hearts that suddenly their hearts began to burn. So my dear ones here this morning, you have your problems, do you? Your world has crumbled around your very ears this past week. What do? I had a telephone call from my dear wife this week in relation to a very dear friend of ours. She's about 38 years of age, has three children and a husband. Had everything in life to live for and had some pains around here. They thought it was something else. So they start probing and suddenly find that she has cancer of the liver so far advanced there is no hope for her. Now what are you going to do in that hour? Where's the grassroots of Christianity? Where's the difference between us now in this problem and the world out there with their problems? Where is it? I'll tell you what it is. This, the old book. And I've known people in such dire straits like that, who found that they had burning heart. So that when the world comes to comfort them, they find they can't comfort them. Because they have a comfort which is out of this world, which is only given by the Lord Himself. My dear ones here this morning, the time has gone, but listen, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And Isaiah says, seek you out the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these things shall fail. His Spirit has gathered them. And Romans reminds us, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. And old John Newton, wrote in an old hymn book. And this is what he said. Precious Bible, what a treasure does the Word of God afford. All I want for life or pleasure, food and medicine, shield and sword is revealed in Jehovah's sacred word. Food to which the world's a stranger, hope here my hungry soul enjoys. Of excess there is no danger, though it fills, it never cloys, while the Spirit to my heart its truth applies. When my faith is faint and sickly, or when Satan wounds my mind, cordials to revive me quickly, healing medicines here I find. When my Jesus shines therein into my mind, in the hour of dark temptation, Satan cannot make me yield, for the word of consolation is to me a mighty shield, while Jehovah gives me faith, the truth to will. Shall I envy then the miser, doting on his golden store? Sure I am, or should be wiser. I am rich, 'tis he who is poor. Having Jesus, I have an immortal store. My dear ones here this morning, why do you have sad hearts and slow hearts? Why? Go to the book. Forget the game this afternoon. Get out the old book. You don't understand it. Well, you go to the Lord and you'll find that if you ask Him to enable you to understand the Word, you will have something else about burning hearts. Burning hearts. And you'll come back tonight and the service will be a lot different tonight than what it is this morning. Burning hearts. God give us burning hearts for His name's sake. Amen.